Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the Southwest Texan Dedeck Cruz, and welcome to a new episode of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. Man, do we got a jam-packed and heated show tonight. My three guests tonight have some sort of heat, as my first guest tonight, Kit Osborne, said. He said he's going to talk a lot of shit. He's going to be a little bit intoxicated. He's going to talk a little shit. So, I mean, what can I say? I mean, it's going to be a fun show. And, Martez, what do you think about the video you saw earlier of my guest tonight, Kit Osborne?
It was definitely animated, and he seems like he has a lot to get off his chest tonight. And I could see things getting out of hand real quick, you know, based on what he said. Yeah. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see Kit Osborne the last time he was in Michigan. I missed that show, but I actually was present for the G Raver versus Chuck Stein, which was nominated and won Match of the Year in Horseland's book. And Marcus Crane, I actually recorded Marcus Crane's match versus Jeff King for the Horseland Heavyweight Championship. And let me tell you, man, these guys are heavy hitters. They're like I said, deathmatch is a big part of, you know, I talk about, you know what I'm saying, so our listeners could get to know this, but Deathmatch, man, it's a fun place to eat off of, and if you like Blood and Guts and old school WWF hardcore matches, you know, that's the place to be, is Deathmatch. So, yeah, my first guest, Kit Osborne, should be on soon, man. He's a character, and I can't wait to have him on. This would be a treat for all of my listeners and all of you guys on Blog Talk Radio and anywhere you guys are listening. I'm glad you guys are tuning in. If you guys want to call in before Kit Osborne calls in to talk about anything wrestling, area code 646-668-8672. Again, 646-668-8672. I can't wait to have him on. We're going to have him on in about 2 minutes. So if you guys want to call in or even call in to ask Kit some questions, I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you guys want to do, I'm down for it. Southwest Texans always down to get some heat and to take some other opinions than my own. So 646-668-8672. I'm going to talk about the empty arena matches too, man. Impact actually started doing the empty arena matches, and Impact kind of got a good look to it and a kind of good feel that they're doing with the empty arenas. Like AEW didn't wasn't live yesterday, I don't believe, but NXT was pretty good, and like they got Damian Priest going again. They want to go against Keith Lee for the NXT North American Championship. That's going to be a good intriguing feud, you know, the feud that's going to go on there, because Damian Priest actually came out with a good promo. So nonetheless, you guys, tonight I have a guest that's about to call in. I'm not sure if he's there. Kit Osborne, deathmatch wrestler, pro wrestler, whatever you guys want to call him, you guys. Are you there, Kit Osborne?
He's not there yet. He's not here yet.
He's not there yet. Okay, most definitely. But Martez, did you actually get to catch the Impact empty arena matches on Tuesday?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it, like a hot second of it. Yeah, I was pretty impressed with it. You know, I felt like it felt right with Impact Wrestling. And one thing I think that's working is that the fact that they don't like. One thing I like about AEW and Impact, the way they're doing it, is they have it's pretty dark. Where fans normally sit at is dark. So I think that makes the viewing of it pretty easy. You know, it makes it easy to watch.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. Like I said, I like the feel of Impact doing that empty arena match because I seen Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, and Crazy Steve versus OVE. That match was pretty good. I like that match.
Yeah.
And Impact, man, I'm starting to kind of like Impact a little more than what I did before. I always liked Impact. I was on and off with Impact. But Impact's pretty good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm starting to get into it again.
And I think I'm going to screen this call, but I think if Impact will be smart, they have great talent there. Make no question about it. But if they can go scoop up a Rusev or the Good Brothers or some of those kind of people, they'll be right in the competition, like right there with AEW and WWE. I mean, not ahead of WWE, but they'll be right in that conversation, I think.
Right, yeah, and you're completely right. But if you want, you can screen the callers and I'll let the listeners know a little bit about Kid Osborne here. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest tonight, well, the first guest out of three is, like I said, a deathmatch wrestler / pro wrestler. He's been in the game for a decade, really good wrestler. I was just watching his match versus former X Division champion Ace Austin. Ladies and gentlemen, Kid Osborne, are you there? I guess not yet. I'm not yet, you guys. But Kid Osborne's one hell of a wrestler, man. He's been from everywhere, from CZW, GCW, man. He's been around the world. He came here in Michigan. He came to Michigan, missed his show. He was at Horror Slam, man. But one hell of an athlete is what I could say about Kid Osborne. And might be a little bit intoxicated, guys, so don't mind it. I mean, this is the Rated R Wrestling Podcast where we do get rated R, so it's okay.
Yeah, and he's actually here.
What's going on, Kid?
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm not intoxicated. Not bad
at
all.
It's okay if you are. It's okay. It's okay.
Well, I'll be getting there soon.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
so
what's going
on, man? How are you doing during this epidemic going on, man?
It sucks. Pretty pissed off. Every day I don't feel like I do enough. And, you know, you just try to let the day pass by and, you know, hope that everything reopens soon, but not too early. Because, you know, what else can you do? I'll tell you this, though. The first bump I take in any ring will probably be the finish.
Oh, God. You can't say that, man. It's just going to be a little bit of the discombobulation. I don't think it'll be the finish. A little bit of discombobulation, but, you know, it'll be all right. You guys get a good feel of it again. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get the feel again. Why not?
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. That's all. I can't even remember
yeah,
my last match. I think it was like what, a month or 2 months ago? Jesus.
Yeah, that's a long time for a wrestler that's been in the ring for over a decade. Talking about that, man, you've been in the ring since 2010. What actually got you into wrestling, or who got you into wrestling, or what wrestler actually got you into wrestling?
Got me into the business. I'm embarrassed to say it because I know him now, and he's a piece of shit human being. He's bald and fat now. Nick Gage. I would watch. I mean, I was always a WWE fan. You know, Shawn Michaels is my favorite, and I never watched any independent wrestling. Obviously, I saw ECW, but that was on like usually pretty late. Anytime I would see it. But when I went to a CZW show at the arena, maybe 2004, 2005, and then I got hooked on it. And then, a few years later down the line when I was in high school, I went to a show and they advertised for training. And I was like super into it, still super into it, even though I think a lot of people at that time would start growing out of wrestling. And I probably kept every time I'll tell you why I never let it fade. And it was because anytime I did bad in school, or I got in trouble, my dad would take away, like, wrestling, wrestlers, like, watching Raw. And I swear to God, man, like, that is what is the, probably the biggest reason why I do it today. I mean,
yeah,
and he knows it. And it's a funny thing, but, I mean, he loves it, you know, that I do it now. But, you know, when I was 6 years old and you know, growing up or whatever, like, he hated wrestling. That's the only damn thing that I would talk about. But
definitely.
I went to his show. You know, Gage is one of those guys that I he stood out. You know, he could talk, and I like how he worked. You know, he looked like a badass. And then that, I just want to emphasize, like, he looked like a badass. And then when I met him, like, he's everything but. And, you know, you could tell him I said that. I mean, shit, I'll call him right now and tell him that over this fucking podcast. But I it was him, and I also really liked Nate Webb. And they stuck out. Out a lot, and you know, ultimately, like, you know, I wanted to just be in that ring, especially watching, you know, CZW at the time when it was actually good. I wanted to be a part of CZW. I wanted to be, you know, on that roster with all those dudes, you know, when I finally started training. And and then, you know, I mean, it sort of happened, and then it kind of didn't, because they're shitty like that. So
talking about the CZW, I actually was watching a little vignette of you in the training in the CZW ring and stuff, and then I watched a match, 2 out of 3 falls, when you were actually wrestling at former X Division champion Ace Austin in a 2 out of 3 falls. That match was actually fucking good as shit.
Oh, thank you. Ace is easily one of my favorite people I ever got to work with. I mean, he's one of my really good friends in wrestling, you know, that I've met. Yeah, and here's a funny story. Like, him and I, he would always stay in my apartment because I lived in Center City, and we would do the Dojo Wars show, and then we would go back to my apartment. I have, like, a rooftop thing at the time, and we would literally just we'd drink fucking wine every Wednesday. So, we had real romantic nights, man, in the ring and then also on a rooftop.
the Hangover type of shit, the movie The Hangover type of shit. Why not, you know? Why not have fun with it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but he's one of my really good friends in wrestling. And, I mean, it's definitely, I think, I mean, that was 2017 or 2016, and I think both of us now are completely different, and I think that we would definitely put on something more more entertaining, emotional, a better story all around.
Right, most definitely. And then talking about Ace Austin, you know, he just lost the X Division title to Willie Mack, I want to say, on Tuesday night. So that was crazy, and I was like, man, to see you go against him, I was like, but man, I don't know why you ain't on one of those, you know, why ain't you on Impact, why ain't you on NXT, or why ain't you on AEW with Joey Janela and Jon Moxley, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, going on one of those shows, why ain't you on one of those promotions?
Oh, you're asking me why? well, you know, Yeah, the thing is, like, Vince called me, and, you know, the owner of the Jaguars called me, and Cody, you know, I had a conference call with them, and I said, guys, you know, if you really want me out there, you're going to have to put the money up, and, you know, we just couldn't agree. Are you serious? I'd fucking be on there in a second.
and I'm,
I am
that's
happy.
That's what I'm saying.
I've
seen your match.
I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, lot of my friends are on AEW, and my trainer, you know, is Drew Gulak, and he's in WWE now. I mean, he's in WWE, like, on that main roster. He's really making, like, even more of a name for himself there. And, I mean, all I can ever say, it's like it's a matter of time, and if the stars align, that's how it works. I mean, right now, I mean, not right this very second, but, like, where the beginning of the year was, like, I was working. I got the main event for MLW, and that was something I never expected. and that's a company that I'm really happy to be a part of. I think they do everything just perfect, and I really like working. I mean, I've only been working with Team Filthy with Tom Waller, and then a few others. But it's really just a matter of time. You just take it day by day, man. And you know, I got plenty of time, so we'll see what happens. You know, if AEW could ever be a possibility or anything else, you know.
Most definitely, man. Like I said, I've been watching a lot of your matches, man, and I can see you as a either, you know, on NXT doing the cruiserweight thing or in AEW going with you know what I'm saying, for that new TNT championship or the AEW championship, man. You're a great talent, and you can get your stuff done in the ring, most definitely. What do you prefer, deathmatch wrestling or pro wrestling? I mean, I know you've done both. You know, you've gone against Schlag, and man, talking about Schlag too, man. I've seen that stuff you've done with Schlag, man. That's some crazy shit too. But which one would you prefer more?
Well, I'll put it like this. I mean, I like telling stories. I like, you know, making a crowd get so into it and see the realism that I put in the every match and every feud I have, like whether it's Schlack or Gage. So, it really depends on who the person is that I'm getting in that ring with. As for physicality, I mean, I prefer to have regular pro wrestling matches because, you know, I'm not trying to scar up my whole body and all my face and all that, but man, if you were to tell me I could have, you know, a 6-week feud with somebody that I feel I could tell, and really articulate like just a real story that people could just sink their teeth into and that they're going to talk about, and they're going to not just talk about one match or one spot, they're going to talk about the emotions in that story and in that match. I'll take that, whether it's a death match or a pro wrestling match, doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. That's, you know, because I like both, you know what I'm saying? My preference, but I'm not the one in the ring, I'd go with death match wrestling. I like pro wrestling. I grew up as a fan of pro wrestling. I've been watching pro wrestling my whole life, but I mean, I prefer deathmatch wrestling, and a lot of people don't like it, but I try to get my listeners to that don't know deathmatch wrestling, that's really mainstream wrestling, to know what deathmatch wrestling is. That way they know the difference, and if they don't know.
Let's put it like this. If I'm having, you know, this match or whatever with Nick Gage, and I do what I do with anybody, and I just talk and I say and I get under their skin, and it gets real. Like, that's what I want. I mean, I'm not going in there. I'm going in there with, you know, adrenaline, right? But
definitely
for the crowd to see that and they're hearing what I'm saying and they're getting that, ooh, did he really say that? Did he say that like, right to his fucking face? And I do that enough times. There's no build to a match and he hits me, you know, with a light tube bundle or, you know, or a chair right square in the head, you know, they're not going to give that same reaction as when he finally gets his chance, you know, after all this shit talking, that he finally gets his hands on me and he blasts me with a light tube bundle or he cuts me with that pizza cutter or whatever. Because ultimately, you know, no matter what I do, he's going to catch me eventually. And when he does, I mean, that reaction from the crowd, and they know, hey, wow, like I've been waiting for this fucking moment since January, and he starts doing it, that crowd's going to erupt a lot more than they would if there was no build and nothing made any sense.
Definitely. Yeah, it's, you know, it's fun to, like I said, like you say, when you get a good story, there's nothing like the adrenaline and knowing that you're going to get something worth your money and worth your while, and you have fun doing it at the same time as a fan. Talking about the fans, man, you wrestled in Michigan. I wasn't at that show, but I believe you wrestled Jimmy Lloyd at Horror Slam this
this past year or last year. What did you think about Horace Lamb, and what did you think about the Michigan Indy scene? And will we see you back anytime soon?
I mean, I would love to come back to Horace Slam. I remember briefly talking about it to somebody, but I guess it just kind of fizzled out too. I mean, right now I don't know what's happening anymore. So, but I most definitely would go back to Horace Slam. Everybody there in the back is putting it together. Were fantastic. You know, they really took care of me and all that. And I've never been to Michigan before. So I don't know about the scene outside of it, but the crowd there were really into it, and it's definitely a place that I would 100% go back to.
Definitely, and when you come back, man, and after all this is done, whenever you come back, man, dinner or lunch is on me, and I would love to hang out with you. Like I, you know, it'll be a fun thing.
Hey, that sounds like a plan to me, man.
Yeah, most definitely. And talking about anything, man, like the talking about WWE and NXT, do you watch the empty arena matches, and do you like the empty arena matches? Or I mean, I know nobody likes the empty arena matches because we all prefer to be there. But do you watch it, or do you not?
I will watch certain things and clips of it. For the most part, like, I mean, I try to follow what's happening. Like I'll watch, let's say like What Culture or something, and then they do the ups and downs of Raw or something. Like I'll watch that like all the time. And then if I hear that there's a certain match, going on, like, you know, if my trainer Drew is on there, like I want to definitely watch him because, you know, it's nothing but just learning what he does different every single time he's in the ring. It's, you know, that it's amazing. So I try to keep up with it as much as I can. And AEW, you know, I keep up with that like a lot. But I mean, everything's on social media, so I don't always have to watch it live. And I just keep up for, you know, as much as I can. I mean, all I have is time, so you'd think that would be, you know, that would be the only thing I need to do. But I try to keep up.
Definitely like that Drew Gulak training Daniel Bryan angle they got going on right now is pretty good. I like that they got Daniel Bryan going back to the well to, you know, actually going to somebody that came from his same cloth, from the indie cloth, and, you know, getting a few tips. You know what I mean? That's what I like. I actually like that because I know some of the promoters that actually – had some shows with Daniel Bryan back in the early 2000s back here in Michigan, and it's just crazy to see that playing out.
Oh, yeah, and it was so well done. And I was there at the Extreme Rules in Philly when it was Drew and Daniel Bryan, and I thought, I mean, that match was the best one on the card. So, and it was right in the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. That match was that match should have actually been later in the card, but I guess WWE was trying to capture the fans' eye, you know, because, I mean, why not? Because that should have been main event. That's main event caliber right there, Drew Gulak versus Daniel Bryan, because those are – Drew Gulak, it's only a matter of time before he wins the big one. I can see it, you know what I'm saying? But that's going to be great, and I think it's going to be them two to go for it, you know what I'm saying? I think Daniel Bryan's going to end up winning the title, and then – Drew Gulak's gonna be like, you know, it was my training that got you back to the mountaintop, so I deserve a title shot, and that would be a great storyline to see.
Oh yeah, it would be a great build and all that, especially with the already established so far. So going forward, I mean, unless somebody else screws it up, I mean, those two, I mean, it's gold.
Yeah. Definitely. That's most definitely. Also, shoot, man, we're getting short on time, but you're on social media. Do you have any merch, and where can the listeners find you on social media, and where can they buy your merch at if you got any?
I do. I have a lot of pictures on all my social media, whether it's Facebook or Instagram. It's just a simple DM to me, and, you know, and we can – easily send one out. Speaking of social media, I want to plug this. Probably starting next week. I'll have all the information out there, but I'm starting my own little online show, especially during this, you know, just the time, because I feel like every wrestler needs to have one now, and I want to join them. It's called Uncorked with Kit. It's pretty much me, and I'll be interviewing, you know, a lot of my wrestling friends and friends outside of wrestling. It's like a half an hour show. I will be drinking a different bottle of wine, and you guys will enjoy me attempting to uncork it myself without asking any help from others. And and it should be a good show all around. Something, you know, the past half an hour of your time.
Nice, man. Like, you, everybody who listened, you just heard what he said, and I'm going to be tuning in. And, man, that's going to be – I'm pretty sure that's going to be great, because I know you know a lot of wrestling a lot of wrestlers and a lot of wrestling people outside the business, so that should be a great great show, and I'll be looking out for that. That's going to be great. But,
It's my little attempt of being a blogger myself, you know, while I'm – sitting at home being a fatty, you know, anyway, I might as well be a blogger and, you know, put on my interview shoes and ask questions to wrestlers to get answers that I didn't even really want to know. But now I'm going to act interested and I'm going to act really intrigued, and everybody here will be able to see right through me. And, hopefully the person I interview doesn't.
There you go. Oh, also, while we're going on this, I have your my next two guests. Do you got anything to say to them before they come online? Next up is going to be Marcus Crane.
Oh, well, you can tell Marcus that I'll probably be playing against him on Call of Duty. So, yeah, we're usually on the same team there. But other than that, and I'll probably tell him myself later when I talk to him, but tell him I said to go fuck himself.
Go fuck yourself. I'll make sure I relay the motherfucking message.
Yeah, and then you can relay that to you can relay it to him as well, and tell him that he's a bitch and that he's been a bitch for years.
I'll make sure to let him know, man. But thanks for the time, man. You've been great, and hopefully I'll be watching out for your show, and hopefully I can have you back on the show in the future.
It sounds like a plan, man. Thank you for having me, guys, and take care. Be safe.
No problem. You take care. You have a good one, and be safe yourself.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kit Osborne. And if you got anything to come to say about Kit Osborne, or anything you want to ask about Kit Osborne to the Southwest Texan, before Marcus Crane comes on the line, area code 646-668-8672. Again, 646-668-8672. You guys, man. What did you think about Kit Osborne? Martez, what did you think about Kit Osborne? What did you think about this interview?
Oh, yeah. I was very impressed with him, to be honest with you. You know, I didn't realize he was that connected in the business. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, he definitely come off very polished. He's very seasoned, and I didn't know he was deep into those promotions like that, far as knowing people and being involved with MLW, which is an elite promotion in my opinion that doesn't get enough love. So yeah, I was very impressed with him. I absolutely was.
Yeah, most definitely, man. That's what that was a great. I didn't expect to hear that either. You know what I'm saying? I didn't expect for his trainer to be Drew Gulak. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the big players right now in WWE with Daniel Bryan. You know, that's something big, you know, for him to actually say that's his trainer, and that for him to be going against former X Division champion in Austin Aries, man, that was just like that was crazy. That was crazy to know, you know what I'm saying? I know about him. I've seen a few of his matches, but I didn't know he was that polished himself.
Right. Well, that was a wonderful surprise. Wonderful surprise, man. I mean, I thought you knew, but I guess now I know you didn't know. but at the end of the day, man, kudos to you again for another stellar interview. And I'm going to keep my eyes out on him, because I know he's going to land he's going to either stay in MLW or maybe he'll be in WWE AEW one day. So I'll definitely follow him starting today.
Yeah, most definitely, man. And talking about MLW, man, I can't wait, man. I got a surprise for the following week after this and the weeks after, you know what I'm saying? But it's going to go crazy. And, man, the show, everybody's on fire over here on Open Talk Radio, man. If you didn't catch it, catch it. Catch the replay on Wrestle Talk and the D with Martez as he actually interviewed Impact star Rhino. That was a big interview yesterday. If you didn't check that out, man, that was actually a great interview. Martez, kudos to you on that one, man. That was a great interview, my brother.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean, I feel like we all had a part in it. Even though you weren't on the show, it's all we all in this together. So, just like when you interviewed the Rock and Roll Express, what's his name? Norton.
Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton. I'll get ready to say Kenny. I'm sorry, Ricky Morton. You know
no,
you.
Huh? Go ahead.
Yeah, you.
No,
go ahead. You definitely legitimized. You legitimized this platform by bringing him on. So kudos to you too.
Oh man, I appreciate that, man. But yeah.
I'm gonna check and see if he's the next interview.
Okay. I appreciate it, ladies and gentlemen. My next guest is a deathmatch wrestler, internationally known, G Raver. He was nominated and won Horror Slam's deathmatch of the year versus the Dirty White Boy, Chuck Stein. Raver, you there?
I'm on.
What's going on, Raver? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I can't complain besides that. Pandemic that's going on, man. How you doing besides this pandemic that's going on?
Yeah, I'm just kind of sitting around doing a whole lot of nothing. I mean, I guess everybody's kind of doing that, but you know, it's what it is, man. And just gotta play it safe and do the right thing until this is all shit and you know over and done with.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm doing the same thing, man. Getting fat, eating, and then drinking a whole lot of beers. That's all I can do. That's all we all
can do.
What I'm
doing right
now. Yep, there you go. And burn a few, and that's about it, you know. But, yeah, man, thank you for the time, and thank you for being on the show because nobody got to take an invitation to anything they ain't got to, don't want to come to. So thank you for coming and coming to the show and coming and accepting my invite. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, man. It's cool. Like I said, I would think that a lot more podcasters would be wanting to reach out to certain people at a time like this because we got nothing to fucking do. Because I got hit up a lot of times when I was on the road or I was, you know, like overseas or we were doing something crazy and like they would want to do these podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do it, but I kind of can't because my schedule's not allowing it. So like now's like the perfect fucking time if you have a podcast. Like I suggest you reach out to some people you're trying to get a hold of because I'm going to bet that they're probably going to be able to do it. You know?
Yeah, most definitely. And that's talking about that. Yeah, your schedule is crazy. The last time I tried to get you on, you were like, man, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm like, all right, man, you know, and I thank you for actually coming on future, like, you know, on the future, like you said you would, you know, and that's really cool of you. And that, like I said, I appreciate that. And for sure, man, you know, so you've been in the ring since 2007. That's 13 years in the business. What got you into wrestling? Who got you into wrestling? Or what wrestler caught your eye to get you into wrestling?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. But, I mean, I think, you know, obviously from being a fan growing up, I mean, in the 80s and stuff, he was even a young fan. So, like, I got, you know, the Hogan Warrior days, the Macho Mans, and Ricky Dragon Steamboats, and Honky Tonk Mans, and all them guys, you know. And I feel like that all derived like later on in life when I started getting back into, and I actually dropped out of wrestling, you know, watching it for a while, you know, when I got older, I didn't watch it for quite some time. And then I met up with some mutual friends, you know, in middle school and stuff like that and kind of sparked my interest back up. And, you know, there was a couple of different things that, you know, got me into it, but you know, what ultimately led to doing some backyard wrestling and then saying after the backyard wrestling, you know, what do we do now when we want to do more, you know, like we want to do this on a different scale. So what do we got to do then? you know, and it was just a matter of finding the right school and doing all that. And that's when I found, you know, the CZW Shakur Wrestle Factory, and that was in Philadelphia at the old ECW arena. And,
okay.
You know, I started going to school there in 2007 and, late 2005 going into 2006, and then transferred schools in mid-2006 over to CZW Foley instead of Shakara. And then 2007, I had my first match at the arena, and until now.
I'm going to go a little bit off subject because I forgot to tell you that my guest before you, Kid Osborne, said to go fuck yourself and that you've been a bitch for years. I was like, what the hell? I was like, all right. I was like, I let him, I relay the message.
Yeah. I figured his cocky ass would say something. Clint Osborne.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I call him Clint Osborne. And
Clint Osborne.
Yeah,
there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that at first. But yeah, man, he's a pretty cool, good dude. But back to our interview. Who was your favorite wrestler growing up? Or like, who's your favorite wrestler now?
Shit, man. Growing up, I mean, I was a big Macho Man fan as a kid. Like, I remember, I mean, that was a big deal for me as far as, like, when I was super young. You know, I've liked Ultimate Warrior and stuff like that, and that kind of slowly treaded off. I think what I ended up really, really kind of, that started me, and then what really, like, started piquing my interest is when I started finding other wrestling as I, you know, became, like, a teenager and started realizing there was other wrestling out there. That's when I started looking up, you know, Japanese wrestling and hardcore wrestling and, you know, independent shows and ECW. And I started to try to just find my, you know, what was my favorite thing then. So it was like, I really, the pinnacle point that I say is, like, hard for me to, like, pinpoint any certain one particular guy, but, like, say that genre and that, just that era in my life was finding, you know, new wrestling and sparking my interest to even greater heights. So I think that's really during that time. I mean, I contribute a lot to ECW, of course, because ECW is a big deal for me, but I also went and sought out other wrestling. I wanted to know if there was shit, you know, like that in other places, in other countries.
Definitely, definitely. And talking about wrestling, man, you're a big, huge deathmatch wrestler. Do you prefer deathmatch wrestling or pro wrestling? And what got you to choose deathmatch wrestling over pro wrestling?
What got me into, I mean, as far as like what I prefer to do, I mean, I don't have any kind of preferability to it. I just feel like that I've always blended the two regardless. And having that wrestling background before the deathmatch, I think is most important, which I think a lot of people that are just getting into it might want to just keep that in mind before they step into deathmatch wrestling. Because the guys that are fucking getting over doing deathmatch wrestling today and the guys that I can name, you know, along with guys like myself and Marcus and Schlack and Eric Ryan and you know, Alex Colon and the guys like that. There's certain guys, even John Wayne Murdoch, Reed Bentley, a couple other guys that have this wrestling behind them first and foremost. And that's what really makes them good at deathmatch wrestling, because you're not just going in there and hitting each other with shit, you know, 8 to 10 minutes or whatever it is that you're out there for. But, you know, I would say that, you know, doing that is really, that's all I care about. I care about it still having the wrestling background. I still have it care about it being built like a wrestling match. And that's all these guys care the same way. So, like, that's the generation of now, which is really cool because I like those hybrid guys. I've always been a fan of hybrid guys, even guys like, I'm sure, I mean, your Jeff Hardys, your Sabus, your you know, Hayabusas, guys like that. They were huge for me because I love seeing them blend, where you can go in there and see them have a wrestling match and then throw in some hardcore shit, and then, you know, you blend those two together, and then sometimes you can see them do night and day. I think your best trait is when you can go to everybody and say that I can wrestle that guy, or I can wrestle with that guy that does this different style and does this different thing. I think that's really was like my peaked interest in deathmatch wrestling and what I wanted to do with it. And I wanted to do it the same way as I did regular wrestling too. So those two things just kind of are one, but to me, but in the same sense, they both have different feelings to them when you perform them, of course.
Definitely. And as a fan of both, man, but a fan of both, I love and prefer deathmatch wrestling because, I mean, not like that, but I'm not the one in the ring over pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I've actually seen you live, and congratulations, actually, on winning the Horace Land Match of the Year with Dirty White Boy Chuck Stein. I mean, that was a match that, man, that caught my eye.
Thanks, man.
When I actually started first going into Horror Slam, that actually caught my eye, and that match was actually great. You guys put everything into it. You guys used every weapon there was, and then you guys got technical with it. And then,
yeah.
What did you think about Horror Slam, and what did you think about Michigan, you know, as a, you know, wrestling scene, period?
I thought it was great. I mean, when we got there, of course, leading up to it, you're always weary. Anybody's always weary. I don't care what anybody says. Is when you go to a new promotion or you go to a new place that you've never heard of, or they're just kind of upstarting or kind of kicking it into the right gear of what they want to do as a product. And Horror Slam kind of fucking put it out there, you know, and I was like, you know, hey, like, I want to give this a shot. I want to see what it's like, see what happens. I was up there with Nick Gage, and of course, at the time, I think they were only bringing in, you know, like two guys at a time or so. From outside the area, you know, like, or bigger name deathmatch guys and things like that. But once we got there, man, you know, it looked like a cool little venue, a fun little venue. But then once the fans got there, man, it was really cool because they were hyped. It was like they were, you know, they were getting, it was like a treat for them. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was there and they were so happy that we were there. It kind of, you know, it fueled us up into like having a good match or wanting to have a good match. And, you know, as far as Chuck, too, like, Chuck, he did, like, an amazing fucking job in that match, and he killed it. And, you know, like, my whole thing with that was, like, great to see guys that, you know, step out of their comfort zone for a minute to do something new. And then next thing you know, you start seeing them do it on the regular, because I've seen Chuck now have a couple different, you know, matches with a couple different guys, and I think he's done pretty damn good. You know, so, yeah, it was great. It was great to go there and do that with him, and it was great to see that the fans were super appreciative and they were super loud as shit, and I was happy as hell with it.
Yeah, definitely. I was, like I said, I was actually there, and that was actually one of my favorite matches of the night, and rightfully so, because you guys won Match of the Year, so that should have said something. But will we ever see you back in Michigan at any capacity?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it would be, you know, it was even. I think I'd even lined myself up with, coming back at some point, of course, before my injury and that sort of thing. And one date got mixed up and stuff, and I planned on being there, and that bummed me out. But yeah, like, I hope that when I do get back into it, I can come back up there again for sure.
Most definitely, man, and we've. And I told Kit this, and I'm gonna tell you the same thing when you come back. Lunch or dinner is on me, man. I'm ready for you guys to come back. You guys are great talents. And talking about your injury, that happened in Japan. Can you elaborate a little bit on what happened that night and what happened on your injury, and if you're better or anything, or give us an update?
Well, yeah. Well, what had happened was I actually had gotten back from Japan, but I was on a flight from Japan to Chicago. And was at the Chicago for the AEW StarCast Black Label Pro and GCW show, because it was the same night that, you know, AEW's first pay-per-view was on, the same building and all that too. So, getting back from a flight like that, I mean, and then having such a great time in Japan. The craziest thing was, like, we had this, like, we were all talking amongst each other. We were like, man, we just got back from Japan and it was so amazing. And we're going to get back to America and we're going to fucking hate it. We're going to hate it immediately. And as soon as we got like out of the airport, all we heard was like, cause it's just not that kind of area there. It's not just like peaceful and that sort of shit. And next thing you know, we hear a bunch of like horn honking, a bunch of fuck yous in Chicago, like a bunch of loud ass people. Right, so we just got like, oh, we're back kind of vibe, you know? And then we, you know, we got to the venue and we started, you know, like setting up the match, which was a multi-man match, which was like a ladder match to get this White Claw in a fucking fanny pack. It was at the top of the fucking ladder. And then we're setting up the match and... me and Jimmy Lloyd had done this spot in Japan. We had done it at Tournament of Death, CZW's Tournament of Death, which was the brain buster on top of the ladder with light tubes, which is something that I came up with the idea of doing that. And we wanted to do it again, of course, on a bigger show. All the shows that we did it on a bigger show. So, you know, we decided we're just going to like light light tubes up there, do it as per normal. We even had a moment where we said to ourselves, like, do we need the light tubes, you know, in a match like this? Because it was the only spot with, like, tubes in it. And, you know, we did a bunch of crazy spots. And it was funny, right before that, like, I even got pressed off a ladder and hit the ladder and bounced outside the ring onto my head. And that fucked me up. And then I got back into the ring and we went to that spot. A couple of things fucked up. Weird ladders, not double-sided ladders. They were just like those regular painter's ladders with the little paint bucket holder.
Yeah.
So we got up there, and it was a matter of, like, height and us both not being – there were so many things not in play that was in a bad position for this thing. So he went to go give me the brain buster, and I went and tried to push off the painter's, like, bucket holder thing, and that gave out, and I kind of had dead weight. And then the height of his body wasn't high enough with mine. And we weren't at the right spot, so he kind of had dead weight, had to throw me, you know, as much as he could. He tried to, you know, strike me back up, but it wasn't happening. And I dragged my armpit across the top of the light bulbs, and I slid down the one end of it. Now, the one end had tape onto it, so it was holding those tubes down. So basically, it was like, once they broke, it made a little shank, basically, at the end of that ladder. And I slid my arm down it, and I literally split it right down those daggers of that light bulb that had just broke, and it had slipped me underneath my armpit and cut all three main artery nerves and my main artery in my arm. So it severed all three main nerves, and then it hit my main artery, is why I was bleeding out so bad. But yeah, that's basically what happened. And then from there, I had to have cadaver nerves put into my arm, which are now healing very slowly. Literally, it's been 7 months, and it hasn't dramatically changed. It's changed some for the better, but it hasn't dramatically changed to where I thought it would in 7 months from getting hurt. Doctor says 2 years. 2 years is to see the maximum amount of movement I can get out of it, but I'm really not trying to wait 2 years to get back into wrestling, but who knows? With the condition of the world right now, I don't know when wrestling's going to be happening anyway. So even if it's not, then I'll just be doing my thing and waiting to heal up so I can get back to it 100%.
Yeah, most definitely. Only time can tell when either, you know, you're going to heal or when the world's going to go back to order, you know what I'm saying, where we all can just enjoy wrestling all over again. Us, you know, me as a podcaster and a slash fan, and you as a wrestler that – I love to perform in front of us, man, because, like I said, that match, I would love to see you live again. I've been watching a lot of your matches, too, a lot of your matches on YouTube, man. You kill it before your injury.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. And that's definitely, man, I can't wait. But do you watch the mainstream wrestling at, like, the WWE, NXT, AEW, MT Arena matches, or do you not watch it?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I mean, I'd say I'm more sporadic in how I watch it. I don't like know that it's Monday and to turn on Raw or that sort of thing. Like, somebody has to – I haven't watched Raw, I don't think, in forever, or like SmackDown or anything like that in quite some time. But a lot of what I catch is on YouTube and or, like, replays and things like that. Sometimes I'll – if there's a reason to go watch, I'll go watch, of course. I want to see my friends, so I have a lot of friends on AEW and stuff like that. So I always like watching those guys and seeing how they're doing and – knowing that they're still doing something is pretty cool. I mean, regardless of you know, empty arenas or however, I mean, it's still content. You know, I think people get fucked up on, nobody's expecting anybody to really do anything at a time like this. At the same time, like, if somebody is giving you some sort of content, like, be thankful in the sense that, you know, they're trying to provide you with something. I mean, I think it's cool that they're doing that in a sense, and as long as they're doing it in a safe way and still protecting each other, and, you know, that's all that matters.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I try to follow, man. I mean, I keep up with it enough to know what's going on. Or, like, obviously I'll watch my WrestleManias and maybe a bigger pay-per-view if there's something that catches my eye, but I'm always a fan of it still. Like, I still love, you know, watching wrestling. It's just a matter of, like, you know, right now I think I've been watching some older stuff, like, of that nature.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Like, today I watched, I want to say, SummerSlam 2000 and 2001. Those were actually good ones of the TLC matches. Yeah.
Was that one of them that had the TLC in it with the Dudleys and the Hardys and Edge and Christian?
Yeah, that's when that was that time, and then Kurt Angle versus Triple H.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was.
Those
were actually one of most of my favorite ones.
Yeah, they were solid.
Yeah. Go ahead. Hello.
Yeah, like anything of that era too, especially like 2000, 2001. I like watching like some of those ones because I feel like there were some in there. Like, I even watched some of the – and people are going to probably shit on me for this, but I watched some of the old ECW, like the reboot ECW. And
yeah.
I was like, man, I used to hate it when that was on TV, man, because I was like, man, this is not ECW. This is WWE's ECW. But there were some really cool fucking matches on those programs. And, like, people don't give them enough credit. Like – it's like where Flair was like bumping into thumbtacks and shit, a bunch of RVDs, taboo matches. Like, there's some decent stuff on there, hidden in there, and like people, you know, shit on it for a while. But I felt like, man, I'm like, I didn't give this a good shake back in the day.
Yeah, actually, one of my favorite ones was Rick, the one you were talking about, Ric Flair versus Big Show for the ECW title. That was a good one. That was actually a great match. I seen that one. I watched that one, I want to say, like 2 weeks ago. That was a good match.
Yeah, and there was like a Sabu versus Big Show stretcher match, I think. And then like some other crazy shit. I forget what other was on there. But it was like,
Hardcore Holly got cut, cut on his back. I remember that one.
Him and RVD, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was a good match right there, too.
Yeah, they were like, I felt like it was cool if you like watching the guys that, you know, were upcoming and, you know, even some older guys that, you know, even though it wasn't ECW, it still wasn't bad matches per se. There was some shitty stuff that happened. I mean, but that's with everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everything has its own shit, but I mean, You get good and then you get bad, but I mean some of it was good actually, like you said, you know, like there was a lot of good RVD matches in there, Sabu, and then you had Sandman. The shit was like when they first came out and they had that zombie guy and all them other crazy little gimmicks,
like
sci-fi and shit.
Yeah, that was a buzzkill like right away. You were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I was like, that was my exact reaction. Like, what the fuck is this? I used to watch a lot of ECW, and I'm like, at first I didn't like it, but like you said, there's a couple of matches in there that I did watch because I did watch a lot of it. But there's a lot of stuff that did go on there that was pretty good, but most of it was shit.
Yeah, I even fucking was on a show with that ECW zombie guy one time. I believe he's since passed away. I'm not. I'm gonna say 100% sure on that, but you know, I was on a show with him, and it's kind of weird how that happens. You know what I mean? Like, I was on some random fire hall show with the ECW Zombie.
Okay.
I'm like, strange. You know what I mean? It's crazy how that goes backwards like that.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that. Even if you did pass away, but that's crazy. But yeah, you're also a tattoo artist. Do you have your own? Do you have your own shop, or you know, do you do it from your house, or?
No, I worked at a shop up in near Altoona area, and I since from the injury, it since stopped working so much, obviously, on tattooing and that sort of thing. But I wasn't really tattooing too much anymore with my wrestling schedule. That was the crazy thing. I was only tattooing every once in a while, and I sort of fell out of it. I mean, I felt like I'd been doing it for so long and not really getting a chance in that area to really expand my portfolio, expand my artwork. I was kind of limited to what I was doing. And, you know, it was good because it's shit to help pay the bills and stuff at the time. But, you know, after I started wrestling on the regular and having that wrestling schedule, that's all I really wanted to do. So I just kind of slowly felt away from it. But it's not something I can't see myself going back to. Can't.
Okay. Most definitely.
Yeah.
And when you get back into wrestling, do you have a dream match and a dream opponent that you would like to wrestle?
Man, it's tough, man, especially right now with the there's going to be a lot of doors open for a lot of people, you know, once wrestling gets back to normal, because here, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think a lot of people are going to go to some TV spots, but you just had like a good chunk of WWE roster and good guys, like good, decent wrestlers get released. And then you start to think like, shit, when you get back to it, they'll be getting back to it. So, like,
right,
could make something happen. I mean, yeah, I, of course, the playing field has now changed dramatically, which is kind of cool, you know, to see guys back on the independent scene and getting a chance to work with different people.
Most definitely.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I really don't know. Like, I mean, people ask me all the time, I want to go back to Japan. You guys, I would like to still wrestle. I would like to wrestle Takeda. I'd like to wrestle him. I would like to wrestle Kodaka, Sami Kodaka, one more time.
Okay.
And then some of the newer guys, man, I'd like to have a match with, you know, Chris Hero or fucking Leo Rush.
Definitely, yeah, those would be good ones. Yeah, I would like to see those ones. That. Chris Harrell's a hard hitter. Leo Rush is something else, but I can definitely see those two lock it up. That'd be a good. Those would be two good matches. I would love to see that. No matter where it is, pay per view or wherever, I would love to see those matches.
Yeah, thanks, man. I you know, those are just kind of, you know, some names I could think of off that list and stuff that are obviously, you know, guys that, you know, I watched and I always appreciated their shit. So it was like, you know, yeah, I'd love to have a match with them if it happens. If not, then that's cool too. It's so cool to see them joining us, I guess, in a sense.
Definitely. So we got about 2 minutes left. You're on social media, and I know you got merch out. You want to let the listeners know where they can find you on social media and where they can find your merch?
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at StaySickGraver. You can find me on Instagram at WTWBGraver, and then on my Facebook under Brandon Graver, you can find me under there too. You can always send me a message, PM me if you're interested in any T-shirts. I got a new T-shirt that's in the works, slowly coming this way, so that'll be available soon. I got some plush available. I do have some other old backstock of older T-shirts and some newer ones too. You can always message me, personal message me on any of those accounts. And I gladly hook you up. I got a PayPal, and we can handle our business, and I'll send it out to you.
Most definitely. You guys hear that? But we did time, Raver, and I'll be definitely hitting you up on a shirt pretty soon. And hopefully in the future we'll have you on the show again before you go back to touring or going back into wrestling. And thank you for the time, and I thank you for everything that you've done.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on, and you guys have a fucking sick night, man.
Not a problem, man. You have a great night, and you be safe, G-Raver.
Peace.
Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my second guest of the evening. That was G-Raver. Now, like I said before, you have anything to say before my next guest get on the line? 646-668-8672. That was G-Raver, guys. What did you guys think about it? Martez, what did you think about Raver?
One thing I thought about him was listening to him talk. You know, you can hear the wrestling business just coming off his tongue. You know, it seems as if he's very passionate about the business. And he's another one that's kind of connected by the things he said. And he has friends at AEW. He wants to wrestle Leo Rush. And it's just one thing I can take from him is that his passion for the business. You know, he was very, very informative and everything.
Most definitely. Yeah, man. These guys, man, you know, some of these mainstream wrestling fans don't know about these guys. But like I said, I've seen these guys live. I've seen him wrestle. Like I said, he wrestled the Dirty White Boy Chuck Stein, won the year of the match in Horsham. That was a great match. And my next guest actually wrestled the Horsham heavyweight champion, Jeff King, man. He's the devil's big red dick, as he says, man. That dude, Marcus Crane, man, he's one crazy motherfucker. And I'm ready to have that guy on in a couple minutes. And, man, like I said, these mainstream wrestling fans need to get to know these guys. Like I said, guys, tonight I had on Kit Osborne. I had Marcus. I'm going to have Marcus Crane. I just had G Raver on there. Take a look at these guys on YouTube, man. These guys are great wrestlers. They laid out on the line just like any wrestler. But these guys, I believe that they give a little more because, you know, they want to make their names out there. And, you know, it's hard to do. But is my next caller on the line? Marcus Crane, you on the line?
He's not in yet.
Okay. But yeah, man, Marcus Crane is a crazy dude too. But yeah, man. So anybody want to give me a call before Marcus Crane gets on the line? Area code 646-668-8672. We're on Open Talk Radio, The Flash 313, with the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313, with your host Southwest Texan. I'm ready to have you guys on the line. If you guys want to give a call, give me a shout. I'd love to hear you guys' opinion on any of the wrestlers that were on tonight or anything that has to go on in the wrestling world or even the coronavirus, if you guys want to speak about it. You know what I'm saying? How everything's going to probably open up pretty soon. Do you guys think it's too early for it? Or do you guys think that the president is making the right choice? I mean, what do you think about that, Martez? Do you think that the president is making the right choice in opening up a couple of the states pretty soon early?
I have a lot to say about that, but I'm going to keep it short because out of respect for you and your show. But
man, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about it, honestly. I know I don't trust anything anymore. I mean, never really did, but, you know, it's just weird because I don't know what to believe anymore, and I'm going to just leave it at that. All I know is if he opened it up, you know, there's certain places I won't be going to right away, and I'm going to continue to do the same thing I've been doing, just going to my little job and then coming back home. I'll do that for a while until I feel comfortable about going other places and being around a lot of people, because I still think it's bigger than what people know. And that's the part that disgusts me and makes me feel a little angry. But I mean, it'd be good for the businesses that are closed, you know, so they'd be happy.
Yeah, most definitely. That's what I'm going to end up doing, too, is just cause when I go back to work, you know what I'm saying, I'm one of the unfortunate ones that are still laid off, you know, but I mean, it is what it is. I'm still getting paid for it, but I mean, I'd rather be at work. So I mean, once everything get back to normal, like, you know, I'm be going back to work. You know what I'm saying? When I get there, I'm gonna be going home too. You know what I'm saying? Working home. I really don't trust it either, especially with the way the president is now. You know what I'm saying? He don't know what's going on.
Right. It's almost like And it's almost like somebody unleashed something on us. It's not really what it's portrayed to be. It's like somebody or they unleashed something on us. I mean, that's just my theory. I don't know. But you have an interview and you have a caller that's probably going to have to wait. But I think your interview is here right now.
Okay.
Let me screen it real quick and I'll let you know. Okay.
For sure. Thank you. So ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Crane is about to be on the line. This dude is a nationally known deathmatch wrestler. He's a great talent. Kicks ass. Man, I've seen him live. I recorded his match live versus Jeff King. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Crane, are you on the line? Maybe not. All right. So yeah, man. Getting back on the pandemic thing, man. This world is going crazy. The president don't know what he's talking about. As my friend UC would say, with all this going on, this is what you call a tragedy. A big tragedy in this world. But I want to know if anybody's on the line or wants to be on the line. You know, I got my interviewee coming up pretty soon. And is he on the line yet?
Whenever you're ready, I'll bring him on. He's here.
I'm ready. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Crane is on the line. What's going on, Marcus?
What's up?
Not much, man. How you doing?
It's fucking stir crazy. Just trying to sell shit. Make some money.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. You going crazy like the rest of us with this pandemic shit going on?
Yeah. I fucking leave Chicago and get to my hometown because I just don't want to be here.
I feel you, man. My sister just left to Chicago. She came to Michigan for a while. She lives in Chicago. She lives in Niles. But yeah, man, at least you guys are the lowest state. We're us in Michigan. We're the we're the fourth. We're second to last. You guys are last.
Yeah. Oh shit, I didn't know that. Still.
Yeah, you guys are doing the best. We're actually off. I think we're actually off the top five. Actually, both Illinois and Michigan. But anyway, yeah, man, it's a crazy ass thing going on, and it stopped the whole world. It stopped us all from doing what we love, and that's podcast and wrestling, and you guys wrestling and doing what you guys do best.
Yeah, I fucking lost my show. I'm like, oh, it was gonna be crazy, man. I had the Bonja Go Go. I had so much shit was gonna go down and shit.
I can believe it. You were a crazy guy. I recorded you live, and you wrestled Jeff King for that heavyweight title in Horse Slam. Talking about Horse Slam, man, will we see you back anytime after the pandemic? And what did you think of Horse Slam in the Michigan wrestling scene?
Well, the thing is, it's once I have my bone wood transplant, that's why I talk kind of like funny right now. I was in a coma in December, and I was in the hospital 55 days. I was in ICU for a week. They don't know if I was going to die.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, I actually have like a piece of my skull out of my fucking, yeah, it's like cut, so I have to get a bone transplant, and I'm supposed to get an MRI in May to see if I can do that in Vegas, but I don't know what's gonna happen right now with the fucking pandemic.
Yeah, most definitely, man. And I wish the best wishes for you, and I hope that everything goes good on that, man.
Did you see the Las Vegas mayor wants to open up the fucking casinos right now?
Yeah, so. I've seen that, man. That's actually crazy, man, because, I mean, you got to think about it. This shit just, you know, barely started, and you guys want to open stuff up like that. I think that's wrong.
Yeah, and you know, people travel everywhere to Vegas, so it's like a tornado. It's just going to throw everything back to the people, and yeah. It doesn't look
Yeah, that's nice, and like people are saying, you know, like you said, people travel from everywhere to Las Vegas and wherever they're going to open up, and it's just going to be crazy because if people ain't careful and they think, oh, everything's over, you know what I'm saying, there's going to be a second wave of the corona, and it's going to hit worse than the first.
Yeah, I was on so much antibiotics, so my immune system was low, so it wouldn't be a good thing to go there if that happens.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, that'd be the worst thing to do right now. Let's just hope, like I said, I just hope the best that in that situation, because you know you deserve to be happy like everybody else, and I hope it happens sooner than later, man. And I hope that they don't open it up, but I hope that at the same time that you can get there and be safe with it instead of putting yourself at risk.
And it looks like fucking the purge is gonna fucking happen. It's like canon from the election year, because they made that Make America Great, I mean Keep America Great, and it was the purge thing, and then Trump steal it. And
yeah
if I think if we open up and we go into a shutdown again, that's when the fucking riots are be. And I want my skull completed before the fucking purge happens.
Definitely, man. You don't want to have nothing bad happen in it. I said that myself, man, that the purge is gonna happen because all this shit, you know, all this shit is going crazy, and it's gonna happen. Riots, purges, everything to go along with it.
It's kind of like if you've seen the new Joker, Gotham, the villains came in when the city went to shit. And it's like the entire like country is going to shit, and people is getting crazy like that.
Yeah, but people are, you know, it's crazy. Some people are okay with it, but I ain't ready for that shit. I'm really not.
Right.
I can't like, have it going with it.
Yeah, Trump is like trying to say liberate this state. I'm like, you're for riots. And my girlfriend lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, where the fucking Nazis were coming, and she was on the grounds for that shit. And he was like, oh, they're taking your Second Amendment rights to Virginia. I'm like, they're trying to get the fucking Nazis and whatever. Okay, I can rant about that forever.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, man. Do you actually watch the product nowadays, the empty arena matches from AEW, WWE, or NXT?
Yeah. I watch more than before because I don't have nothing to do. Like when I get when I have the surgery, I just watch so much wrestling because of it. Because I can't wrestle, and I've been in wrestling for like 16 years, like more than half my life.
Most definitely, yeah.
Yeah. I think with the empty arena matches, it's kind of cool because they got more things to play with. They don't have a crowd, but when you see like Aleister Black and this music, I can't remember his, like Only or something, they were just beating the shit out of each other, and it was so like intense, and you saw it, so that was awesome. And the Stone Cold thing was cool because it's Stone Cold, and it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he actually kicked Byron Saxton in the nuts that night. That was actually funny. I thought that was funny. Yeah, man.
He got
a lot of.
He had to go to the fucking hospital the next day.
Yeah, I remember. I read that too. But AEW, man, you got a lot of friends up in AEW. You got Joey Janela and you got John Moxley, man. I would love to, you know, because AEW has actually adopted a little bit of the hardcore wrestling with John Moxley when they, you know, started that up. Man, I would love to see you actually on AEW once everything clears, man. Like, seriously, I can see you going against a Joey Janela and John Moxley again.
Yeah, I've wrestled Joey Janela two times. I'm undefeated against him. But yeah, Joey's a good guy. When I was in the hospital having my when you know my brain got fucked, he actually visited me, and I couldn't like talk. Basically, I didn't have an appetite because all the antibiotics was fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's checked on me and shit, and I had a lot of people check on me. It was crazy. You know, Mick Foley sent me money for
Oh wow.
It was like, yeah, sent me money on the GoFundMe for me, and it was crazy. Like, so much people, like, I got $22,000 on my GoFundMe. It's fucking unreal realizing that
many
people care about you.
You know, I'm a podcaster, but, you know, before I was a podcaster, I was a fan. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, people love you, you know, because you actually put your body on the line and you show the love for the game. That's what makes people love, you know, revolve around you, man. When I see you in Horseland, and you actually did a shout-out for my first podcast, the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313, you know what I'm saying? It was, you know, you were a cool guy, and, man, that's why people do it. That's why people did it. Like Schlag said, you would give somebody a shirt off your own back. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a good guy. That's why people do it, man. And I can tell that you're a good guy. I only met you one time.
Yeah, man. It's like all the fans get me through this and fucking the wrestlers. And I have I have 16 fucking years invested in this. And, like, I don't know what to do. Like, when I got out of it and I just watched so much wrestling just waiting to wrestle, but I got to get my bone transplant, but the doctor said when I get it, it's cool, so I'm going to do a lot of training before it, but...
Yeah. I just hope you get better soon, man, because I would love to see you back in the Michigan... I would love to see you back at Horseland whenever you get your bones back together. You know what I'm saying? I'll be praying for you, man. I know a lot of people don't say that, and, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear it, but, you know, I will for sure, man. And hopefully you get a speedier recovery than anything.
Yeah, all good. It's fucking awesome. I miss wrestling. And wrestling, I was excited for my show at WrestleMania weekend. I was going to fucking host a party that's nothing like any wrestling you've ever seen. Crazy shit. Hopefully that happens next year.
Yeah, hopefully, man. And like I said, man, hopefully it's speedier recovery than anything. And we'd love to have you back in the ring, whether, you know, it's here or whether I could watch it on pay-per-view or anything, streaming it, whatever, man. Like, you know, all the people, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Marcus Crane fan, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I've watched you once, but I've watched a lot of your matches on YouTube, and you kick ass, bro. I could tell you that much.
Thank you, man. Last year, some things I didn't know why, like, I wasn't, like, feeling it, but I love wrestling, but I wasn't feeling it. And I would get headaches and shit, and I found out that's why I had an infection on my skull, because a staple a year ago, they didn't take out, and that's what happened to it. And I was getting, like, chills and headaches, and, like, I thought I was going to die, like, and I almost did.
So
yeah,
I just
that's crazy.
I want to heal up and get back to wrestling and give people like 1,000% for me. Like I couldn't do it. I didn't know why, but I know why.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's crazy that a staple messed everything up and yeah,
people do staples all the time.
Yeah, they do. I've watched a whole lot of them in Horseland, man, and I only been in Horseland going on 2 years as their podcaster and when I used to film from them. And man, I seen Chuck Stein do it, I seen Peter B do it, man, and it's like it takes one thing to mess up your whole career.
Yeah, like staples, you know, people who don't do the death matches, usually the maximum limit for just hardcore is staples. And it was like it's like by tax. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
they. Go ahead.
Huh?
No, I was saying, go ahead. You were gonna say something.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was fucking a staple. I was in Chicago. I talked about it, and they said it wasn't in here. It wasn't in there. And a year later, I go to fucking Las Vegas when I'm passing out in Las Vegas airport because I was supposed to be on that Nashville thing. And they found the staple in my head. So I'm pretty sure
crazy.
I can sue that. If
yeah.
I have all the
yeah,
papers, I'm pretty sure I got. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And then I can do wrestling for the rest of my life.
Definitely. But I'm going to get a little bit off the subject. But my first guest of the evening, Kid Osborne, said for you to go fuck yourself and he'll see you on Call of Duty.
Oh, fuck. Of course. Fucking yes, that guy. I don't know what to say.
He told me he's like, rely on the message. I sure will.
Yeah, he's fucking terrible at it. He should twist. He just fucking goes around fucking doing the same fucking thing.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Yeah, he was pretty cool, man. All you guys are really good guys, man. And you're on social media, man. And I know you got merch out. Is there any? Do you want to let the listeners know where they can find Marcus Crane out on social media and find his merch at?
Yeah, it's dreameater.bigcartel.com. That's the website. And Dream Eater Clothing on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, man, because I support everybody that comes on this show. I support you guys where we can find you guys at and where we can find your merch, man, because I know merch is a big thing with the indie promotions. And I mean, with anybody, but, you know, you guys give 1,000%, and that's why I promote you guys and wherever they can find your merch at or shows or anything social media, man, because you guys deserve
yeah.
You guys bust your ass.
Thanks. I try to make it like the clothing line. Oh, and for every order someone orders for me, gets a free Dream Eater mask. I got
oh, nice.
A bunch of them. So
nice.
I just, it's gifts. I don't sell it. I just, anyone who buys from me, they get a mask.
Okay, for sure. Then I'm going to have to get one myself. So in a... After a few weeks, I believe it's this Friday. Tomorrow, actually, I'll be getting at you. I actually want a mask and a shirt from you. So, you know, that'd be a good one. I definitely want
yeah.
one for sure.
I'll get you.
Yeah, for sure. I do want one. That's 100%. But is there anything else you want to say before we only got a few minutes left?
Fucking stay safe. Fucking yeah. I want to see all of you.
Yeah, definitely, man. We want to see you too, and keep me posted. I mean, keep me posted on your surgery, and keep us updated on your surgery in Vegas. If it happens, as soon as it happens, you know, you could come back on the show. Keep us updated, and we'd love to have you back on, man.
No problem. Anytime.
All right, man. So you be safe and stay healthy. And like I said, keep us updated on your surgery, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. See you then.
Have a good night. Later.
Cool.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Marcus Crane. If you guys want to get him on social media, Marcus Crane on Facebook. And if you guys want to get his shirt, get the clothing line, like you said, replay it if you didn't hear it later on when this replay is updated. Martez, what'd you think about Marcus Crane?
That was another interview that I liked, man. Like, you got some five-star guys calling into the show. So, I enjoyed that interview 100%, I think. Yeah.
Most definitely. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The guy, it seems like all these guys are linked up to people that's already in these major promotions, man.
Yeah. So, man, it's almost that time. So let's talk a little. Me and you can talk about a little bit of the pandemic while we got a couple minutes to go on the Rated R Wrestling podcast. If you want to get on that subject.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know we got 3 minutes to go, but yeah, we can get into it.
Yeah. Oh well, let me let the listeners know first. Right after the Rated R Wrestling podcast, we got the Gorilla Position with Steven Aarons and the Macho Ghost. That's something that you don't want to miss on Open Talk Radio The Flash right after the Rated R Wrestling podcast. So, yeah, now we can get to that so the listeners know what to listen to next.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that plug. I know they probably appreciate that. But, yeah, this pandemic is crazy, man. I just don't – I know deep down in my heart that it's more to it than this. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, are we safe from it? Are we safe? Are we all safe from it? You know, my faith tells me, yeah, it won't touch everybody. But sometimes I wonder, like, is everybody gonna catch it somewhere or other?
Yeah, somewhere down the line. Because I mean, people don't know if they got it or not. Some don't have the symptoms. Some do. Some have an early symptom. But I mean, it's all within what you want to do. And, you know, if you want to go to the stores and take the risk of not wearing gloves or wearing masks, but at the same time, man, you know, it kind of irks me because people that don't wear the gloves, you know what I'm saying, they still touch the product that we're actually touching to bring to our home. You know, so my thing is, how do we know the stuff that we're not bringing home is going to have a coronavirus, you know, kind of, you know, when you touch it or when you eat something or whatever, and how do we know we don't got it in our house already?
Exactly, and that's the part I'm not getting. You know, I don't think no one is safe. Just to be real with you, I don't think no one is safe. I'm even like, it's sad because I'm over here and my body's feeling funny, and I'm wondering, do I got it? Even though I don't think I do, but you know, it's a shame.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's scary that you know, sometimes when your body feels funny nowadays, you're like, do I got it or am I catching the symptoms? Because before, you know, sometimes when you felt sick, you didn't really think about it. But now that this whole thing is going on, you're like, man, my body feels a little funny. Do I got it? Should I go into the hospital or what?
Exactly. So, yeah, we definitely can talk about that more, man. I'd love to get into that with you. I just know it's more to it. That's I'm going to leave it at that.
Most definitely. But, thanks for being here, Martez. This has been the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with your host, the Southwest Texan 313. Next week, we will have Casanova Valentine and Eric Ryan, more internationally known deathmatch wrestlers. So stay tuned, you guys, for the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and the Macho Ghost. It's been Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Good night, guys.
Nope.